السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخنا.
الله
أحسن
يوسف،
عليك.
كيف الحال؟
الحمد لله بخير يا شيخ.
We can start our class go. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. In continuation of our book Al-Adab al-Mufrad by Imam al-Bukhari رحمه الله. بإذن الله today we'll be reading from باب من لطم عبده فليعتقه من غير إيجاب. من لطم عبده فليعتقه من غير إيجاب. We'll be reading from the chapter من لطم عبده. Whoever slaps his slave or servant, فليعتقه من غير إيجاب. Such a person should, by obligation, apparently, literally, that person should necessarily free that servant or slave min ghayri ijab. But this command to free the slave is not a command of an obligation. Whoever slaps his slave, man lafum abdahu, whoever slaps his slave, falyu'tiqhu min ghayri ijab. Let him free that slave. And freeing that slave is not compulsory. This chapter is different from the very previous chapter. Babun liyajtani bil wajha fi dhab. The chapter about that the individual must avoid the face when he has to beat his slave. As for this new chapter, it's about when a person slaps the slave. A person slaps or beats the servant in his face. He should free that slave. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has given series of commands, as we shall see under these ahadith. The Prophet variously commanded alayhi salatu wa sallam that the one who beats a slave in the face, who slaps a slave in the face, should free that slave. But the large majority of the ulama, in fact, some of the scholars have cited ijma', like al-Imam al-Nawawi and others. They have cited that it is a thing of an ijma', consensus, that the command to free that slave is not a compulsion. It's not an obligation, but it's a practice, is an encouragement that is very, very strong. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam strongly encourages that the individual who slaps his slave or his servant has to free that slave, to be free from the evil repercussions of slapping the slave. Like we said, many of the scholars mentioned that that command to free the slave is not a command of obligation. That is, it does not indicate that it is compulsory to free that slave. That's why Al-Imam al-Bukhari mentioned here that min ghayri ijab. That command to free the slave does not necessarily mean that the Prophet was making it compulsory for us to free the slave. This is the view of the large majority, that if a person slaps the slave or the servant, yes, he should free the slave. Yes, he should free the servant. And such a person is so strongly adjured to free the slave or the servant, but that even at that, it is not compulsory. In case he does not do it, it is not an obligation on him to do it. Why have they said that even though it is from the command of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam to free the slave, yet it is not compulsory? We'll come back to it in the narrations that we shall read. We shall come back to it in the narration that we shall read. What is it that shows that it may not be compulsory for an individual to free that slave, even though he's been commanded to free the slave by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Is there anything in the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that also shows that it is not a thing of obligation? Bismillah, we shall come back to that as we read the narrations in the chapter. So Al-Imam al-Bukhari says, Babu man laqama 'abdahu falyu'tiqhu, the chapter regarding that whoever slaps his slave, falyu'tiqhu, that person should therefore free that slave, min ghayri ijab. And that is not by way of making it compulsory on him to free the slave. The first hadith under this chapter is hadith number 176. If we look down the chapter, we see we have about five hadith. Hadith 176, 177, 178, 179, and 180. We have about five hadith. These five ahadith have two foundations. They have two foundations. One of them is from the hadith of Suwaid ibn Muqarrin. Suwaid ibn Muqarrin. The hadith of Suwaid ibn Muqarrin, the companion of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, occurs in 176, 178, and 179. The hadith of Suwaid, 176, 178, and 179. The second foundation we have under this chapter are the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar, and that is hadith number 177 and 180. So we shall inshallah read the hadith of Suwaid ibn Muqarrin al-Muzani radiyallahu anhu. We shall read his hadith. We shall read the three hadith together. We shall read the three narrations of Suwaid together so that we have a full story. Likewise, we shall read the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar, 177 and 180 together, so that we also have a full story. So we have two full reports. The hadith of Suwaid ibn Muqarrin al-Muzani radiyallahu anhu as a single report. We also have the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar as a single report. Both reports will make five reports. The hadith of Suwaid, three reports. The hadith of Ibn Umar, two reports. The reasons why those ahadith have come like this in this chapter heading is that from one isnad, there are information, there are reports regarding that matter that are not in another isnad. So he brought an isnad with its text. When he needed to give us more information, he brought another isnad regarding the issue that has more information than the one that he gave earlier, or that has additional information to the one he gave earlier. So he brought three reports from the issues regarding Suwaid ibn Muqarrin al-Muzani radiyallahu anhu, and then he brought two reports regarding the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar. So we take them differently, the hadith, the narrations from Suwaid, and the narrations from Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu. So we have just two reports basically, inshallah. The first report is the hadith of Suwaid ibn Muqarrin, and that occurs as hadith number 176. In it, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, haddathana Adam, qala haddathana Shu'bah, qala haddathana Husayn, qala samitu Hilal ابن يساف يقول كنا نبيع البز في دار سويد بن مقر كنا نبيع البز في دار سويد ابن مقر فخرجت جارية فقالت لرجل شيئا فلطم هذا ذلك الرجل فقال له سويد ابن مقر ألطمت وجهها لقد رأيتني سابع سبعة وما لنا إلا خادم فلطمها بعضنا فأمره النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أن يعتقها. الإمام البخاري said, حدثنا آدم. We know this Imam, this Sheikh of Al-Bukhari. He is the one that Al-Imam Al-Bukhari collected the second hadith in this book from. Al-Imam Adam, Adam ibn Abd al-Rahman. That's Adam ibn Abi Iyas. Adam ibn Abi Iyas, Abu al-Hasan al-Asqalani. Qala haddathana Shu'bah. He said Al-Imam Shu'bah, that's Shu'bah ibn al-Hajjaj al-Bistami. Abu Bistam. Shu'bah ibn al-Hajjaj, rahimahullah, reported this from Hussein. And Hussein in this hadith is Abu Huzail, Hussein ibn Abu Rahman al-Sulami. He said, Sami'tu Hilala ibn Yasaf, Hilal ibn Yasaf al-Ashja'i, rahimahullah. He said, Sami'tuhu yakul. Hussein ibn Abd al-Rahman al-Sulami, he heard Hilal ibn Yasaf saying that, Kunna nabi'u al-Bazza fi dari Suwaid ibn Muqarrin. Suwaid ibn Muqarrin is a companion of the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam. But Hilal ibn Yasaf was a tabi'i. He said, we were in the house of Suwaid ibn Muqarrin, radiyallahu anhu. Kunna nabi'u al-Bazza fi dari Suwaid ibn Muqarrin. We were in the house of Suwaid ibn Muqarrin. We were selling clothes. There was a kind of clothes we sold that was referred to as al-Bazz. So we sold that clothes in the house of Suwaid ibn Muqarrin. فخرجت جارية فقالت لرجل شيئا فلطمها ذلك الرجل. As we were in the house selling those clothes, فخرجت جارية, one of the female slaves came out, فقالت لرجل شيئا, and she said something to one of the men in the house. And the report of Al-Imam Ahmad regarding this hadith, it said that فَثَبَّتْهُ فَقَالَتْ لِرَجُلٍ شَيْئًا فَثَبَّتْهُ. This young girl, this slave, came out of the house. فَثَبَّتْهُ. She spoke to a man, and in that man, it was in that speech, it was a speech of insult. ثَبَّتْهُ. She insulted the man. She made an untoward statement towards that man. فَلَطَمَهَا ذَلِكَ الرَّجُلُ. The man, as a result of that, slapped that woman, slapped that slave, the female slave. فَغَضِبَ Suwaid. Suwaid ibn Muqarrin, in whose house we were selling those clothes, Suwaid got annoyed. رَضِيَ anhu. فَقَالَ لَهُ Suwaid ibn Muqarrin. Suwaid then said to that man, أَلَطَمْتَ وَجْهَهَا. Are you slapping this girl? Should you have slapped that girl? أَلَطَمْتَ وَجْهَهَا. Should you have slapped that girl? In the reports of Al-Imam Muslim, which also occurs in Hadith number 179, if we come back to Hadith number 179, you will see that it contains the same report. But this time it was from Abu Shu'bah al-Iraqi. Perhaps Abu Shu'bah al-Iraqi was also in that house with Hilal ibn Yasaf, where they sold those clothes. And so in the report of Abu Shu'bah in 179, Abu Shu'bah said, وَرَأَى رَجُلًا لَقَمَ غُلَامَهُ. He saw a man who slapped that the slave. فَقَالَ أَمَا عَلِمْتَ أَنَّ السُّورَةَ مُحَرَّمَةً. أَمَا عَلِمْتَ أَنَّ السُّورَةَ مُحَرَّمَةً. So when he got annoyed, رضي الله عنه, and asked that girl, asked the man who slapped the slave, أَلَطَمْتَ وَجْهَهَا. Are you slapping this girl's face? أَمَا عَلِمْتَ أَنَّ السُّورَةَ مُحَرَّمَةً. Are you not aware that the face is noble, that the face is held in nobility, that the face is held with respect and esteem? Are you not aware that the face is not a place to beat someone? And that was why he is referring to the hadith we read yesterday from the hadith of Abu Huraira and Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari that has the meaning that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited slapping a person in the face. إِذَا ضَرَبَ أَحْدُكُمْ خَادِمَهُ فَلْيَجْتَنِبِ الْوَجْهِ. When any of you beats his slave, he should avoid the face. This was what? By way of rejection, Suwayd ibn Muqarrin radiallahu anhu was rejecting. Do you not know that the face is a noble face? Yes, the slave said something towards the man, but the man slapped the slave. This makes us understand that sometimes people want to correct an error and they employ an error worse than the one they wanted to correct. It is wrong for the slave, yes, to have insulted the man, but it was a worse thing that the man slapped the slave by way of caution or discipline or paying back. He did something worse than what the slave girl had done to him. It was not proper that the slave girl spoke evil to him. But it was worse that he slapped her in response. And you do not respond with what is worse regarding what was directed to you. So that was why Suwayd was annoyed. Amma alimta anna as-surata muharrama. Are you not aware that the face is honored, is held in high esteem? And that was why Suwayd radiallahu anhu rejected that action. Now he wanted to give an evidence, a proof, why he got annoyed. Why was Suwayd rejecting that action? Why should you have slapped that girl? The face is a noble place. Why did you slap her? Now Suwayd wanted to give an evidence. What should you now do after you slapped the girl? What should you do? Suwayd then said, لَقَدْ رَأَيْتُنِي سَابِعَ سَبْعَةٍ. I found myself as one of the seven, the seventh of a group of seven. I found myself being the seventh of a group of seven. Suwayd ibn Muqarrin, their father, had seven children. Suwayd was one of them. So the youngest one amongst them slapped a slave during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And that occurs, this narration that I'm giving now occurs in hadith number 178. That was why Suwayd ibn Muqarrin was rejecting that action. We have a fuller report regarding what happened that Suwayd wanted to report in another incident in front of Suwayd. And that incident was regarding his own son, Muawiyah ibn Suwayd. Muawiyah ibn Suwayd was a Tabi'i, the son of Suwayd. He himself also slapped a girl. That one occurs in hadith number 178. Muawiyah ibn Suwayd ibn Muqarrin al-Muzani rahimahullah said, قَالَ لَطَمْتُ مَوْلًا لَنَا فَفَرَّ. I slapped one of our slaves and the slave ran away. فَدَعَانِي أَبِي. So my father called me. I'm reading from 178 now. My father called me, فَقَالَ لَهُ, and said to that slave, اِقْتَصَ, take your revenge. Do to him what he had done. In the report of Al-Imam Muslim of this hadith of Muawiyah also ran away when he saw that his father was annoyed. Muawiyah ibn Suwayd, who slapped one of the slaves in their house. We are upon a second story regarding Suwayd. The first story regarding Suwayd was the story of those who were selling clothes in their house. They slapped a girl. He was annoyed. And he told them why they should not have slapped the girl. This is the first story. The second story regarding Suwayd is the story of his own son, Muawiyah. Muawiyah ibn Suwayd had slapped the girl. When he slapped the slave, the slave ran away by way of avoiding to be beaten further. And Muawiyah, to noticing that his father Suwayd was angry over what he did, Muawiyah ibn Suwayd also ran away. in the report of Al-Imam Muslim in his Sahih, Muawiyah ibn Suway said, I did not return to the house hatta qubayl al-zuhr, until shortly before the time of Salat al-Zuhr. فَصَلَّيْتُ وَرَاءَ أَبِي. So I observed Salat al-Zuhr behind my father. As the father made Taslim from Salat al-Zuhr, he called Suwayd, come here. He also called that slave, come here. And he told the slave, اِقْتَصَّ مِنْهُ. Oh yeah, you slap him in return. The way Muawiyah ibn Suwayd had slapped the slave, Suwayd ordered the slave to slap him. In the report of Al-Imam Muslim, rahimahullah, it said that imtasil minhu, imtasil, that is, do the like of what he did to you. So Muawiyah ibn Suwayd, rahimahullah, said, fa'afa, but the slave overlooked. The slave forgave me. The slave forgave Muawiyah. Now Muawiyah wanted to say what Muawiyah will do, as he did in the story of Hilal ibn Yasab, which was the first hadith, hadith number 176. On each of the occasions, whenever Suwayd witnessed such a thing, he was annoyed, he rejected it, he prohibited that should have been done, and then he told them on each of those occasions why they should not do what he did. And it was something to remember between himself and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So when the slave forgave Muawiyah, Suwayd now told Muawiyah and the slave together and said, kunna walada muqarrinin sab'atan, we were seven of the children of Muqarrin. Lana khadimun, we had a servant. فَلَطَمَهَا أَحَدُنَا, so one of us slapped that slave. Suwayd is telling them a story of what happened between himself and his brothers during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He says, فَلَطَمَهَا أَحَدُنَا, one of us slapped that slave. And that occurs in the report of Al-Imam Muslim that it was Asgaruna, the youngest amongst the seven of us, was the one who slapped the slave. فَذُكِرَ ذَلِكَ لِلنَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ. That case was reported to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I was one of us, seven of us, who were all children of Muqarrin. The youngest amongst us slapped our slave, and the case was reported to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Faqala, murhum falyu'tiquha. I am reading from hadith 178. Murhum falyu'tiquha. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded the family of Suwayd, the seven of them, murhum, command them, tell them, falyu'tiquha, let them free that slave that they had slapped. Fakila linnabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But it was said in response to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that laysa lahum khadimun ghayraha, they do not have any servant except that girl, Messenger of Allah. You say they should feel free the girl, but they don't have any other servant in that house except that girl. This exemption that the Prophet gave now was the reason why ulama say that it is not compulsory to free the slave. Because when they told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we don't have any other servant in that house except that girl, faqala alayhi salatu wasalam, then the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, falyastakhdimuha, then in that case, let them continue to make that girl serve them. فَإِذَاسْتَغْنَوْا خَلُّوا سَبِيلَهَا, then when they feel sufficient away from her, خَلُّوا سَبِيلَهَا, they should allow her to go. Ulama say, the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them that option of فَلْيَسْتَخْدِمُوهَا, if they don't have any other servant or slave apart from that girl, فَلْيَسْتَخْدِمُوهَا, let them continue to employ that girl for their services. فَإِذَا اسْتَغْنَوْا خَلُّوا سَبِيلَهَا. And then when they do not need her anymore, then they should allow her go. They say this is evidence that it was not compulsory for them to free the slave. But because if it was compulsory for them to free the slave, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not say to them that فَلْيَسْتَخْدِمُوهَا. After they were told that that was the only slave that they had, the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, فَلْيَسْتَخْدِمُوهَا. فَإِذَا اسْتَغْنَوْا خَلُّوا سَبِيلَهَا. Let them make the girl run around for their services. فَإِذَا اسْتَغْنَوْا, when they become self-sufficient, not needing her services anymore, خَلُّوا سَبِيلَهَا. They should now allow the girl to go. This is why the ulama say that min غَيْرِ ijab. Yes, the Prophet commanded them, alayhi salatu wasalam, فَلْيُعْتِقُوهَا. Let them free the girl. This was a command. And every command of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam basically, essentially comes with an obligation. But when they said, oh Messenger of Allah, we do not have any other slave, the people even told the Prophet, لَيْسَ لَهُمْ خَادِمٌ غَيْرَهَا. They do not have any other slave apart from that girl. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, فَلْيَسْتَخْدِمُوهَا. Then in that case, let them continue to employ that girl for their services. Now, when they are sufficient, when they used employ the girl for their services, خَلُّوا سَبِيلَهَا. They should leave the girl to go. One of the ulama, and that was Sheikh Muhammad ibn Adam al-Ethiopi, he has the view that this hadith is still not evidence to say that it is not compulsory to free the girl. Sheikh Muhammad ibn Adam al-Ethiopi, rahimahullah, he mentioned that in the 29th volume of his book, Al-Bahrul Muhit Al-Sajjaj, which is a sharh of his sharh of his commentary on Sahih Muslim. Rahimahullah, he is now late. He mentioned it in the 29th volume. He said there is a state, there is the general belief that people have regarding this issue, that it is not compulsory to free the girl. He says, rahimahullah, in صح الإجماع المدعي فذاك. If المدعى فذاك. He said, if it is authentic, الإجماع المدعى, the consensus that is being claimed regarding this issue, if it is so sound that it is, if it is an إجماع المنعكد لكل ما رفعته, if it's an established consensus, فذاك, then so be it. Meaning that then it is not compulsory, truly. وَإِلَّا. But if it is not, if it was possible that there are those amongst the ulama that held differently, but we do not know about that. فَظَوَاهِرُ الْأَحَادِيثِ تَضُلُّ عَلَى وُجُوبِ الْعِتْقِ. The apparent meaning of the reports regarding this hadith, as we shall see in the report of Abdullah ibn Umar regarding this hadith, as we shall see, the apparent meaning of these ahadith, أي فيما أدى الضرب المباح. The apparent meaning of these ahadith show that it is compulsory for us to free the slave. فيما أدى الضرب المباح. If we beat that slave in a manner that was not lawful. That is, if the beating was lawful, there is no compulsion of freeing the slave. But if the beating was an unlawful beating, in beatings that are not lawful, it is compulsory to free the slave. This is what the text show. Yes, if you say there's an ijma, there's a consensus. The consensus can bring down the level of a ruling, can make sorful hukum. A consensus regarding a matter can make the ruling to come from obligation to a mandu, something that is recommended. So he said, if the ijma that is being claimed is right, and really, really a consensus that is established regarding which there are no different people amongst the early Muslims, he says, فَذَاكَ, then so be it. It means مِنْ غَيْرِ إِجَابٍ, as Al-Imam al-Bukhari too has mentioned. He says, but if there are no such, if the ijma is not established, he said, الْأَحَادِيثُ, he says, فَظَوَاهِرُ الْأَحَادِيثُ, the apparent meaning of the report regarding this matter, تَدُلُّ عَلَى وُجُوبِ الْإِبْقِي, they all show that it is compulsory to free a slave if you slap a slave in the face. It says, وَأَمَّا حَدِيثُ سُوَيْدِ إِبْنِ مُقَرِّمْ after the hadith of Suwayd ibn Muqarrim that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam allowed them and said فَلْيَسْتَخْدِمُوهَا, that they should still use that slave, that they should still employ that slave for their needs, for their services, and he did not command them to immediately free that slave. The Sheikh says فَلَا يُنَافِ الْوُجُوبُ, this does not show that it is not compulsory for us to free the slave. It does not contradict the fact that it is compulsory. فَقَدْ أَمَرَهُمْ بِإِتْقِهَا, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had commanded them to free the girls. فَلَمَّا شَكَوْا إِلَيْهِ أَنَّهُمْ لَيْسَ خَادِمٌ غَيْرَهَا إِسْتَثْنَى لَهُمْ خِدْمَتَهَا, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded them to free the slave, and they complained to him that they do not have any other slave, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then allowed them to make, employ the services of that girl. فَإِذَا اسْتَغْنَوْا عَنْهَا خَلُّوا سَبِيلَهَا, and that when they are sufficient away from her need, whenever they do not need her anymore, خَلُّوا سَبِيلَهَا, they should allow the girl to go. فَوُجُوبُ الْعِتْقِ ظَاهِرٌ فِيهِ أَيْضًا, so this also means that it is compulsory for them to free the slave. Yes, use the slave as long as you need the slave. When you stop being in need of that slave, خَلُّوا سَبِيلَهَا, allow the girl to go. This is evidence that it was something that was compulsory for them to free the slave. He only allowed them because of their need. Once you make her serve you, and then you don't need her service anymore, free the girl to go. So he says, فَوُجُوبُ الْعِبْقِ ظَاهِرٌ فِيهِ أَيْضًا, this hadith also necessarily implies that it is compulsory for them to still free that slave. It was only talking about freeing the slave at a later time. فَتَأَمَّلْ بِالْإِمْعَانِ, said, so think regarding this matter very deeply. وَاللَّهُ تَعَالَى أَعْلَمُ بِالصَّوَابِ وَإِلَيْهِ الْمَرْجَعُ وَالْمَآبِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone best knows it all, and the affairs, all affairs return to him subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what Sheikh Muhammad ibn Adam al-Ethiopi rahimahullah had said regarding this matter, that it is compulsory to still free the slave. Yes, there are statements that there is ijma, that it is not compulsory to free the slave because of this hadith of Suwayd. What in it was in reference to say it is not compulsory? Because they complained to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam that laysa lahum khadimun ghayraha, they do not have any other slave girl apart from this girl. And then the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam falyastakhdimuha, let them employ her services. فَإِذَا اسْتَغْنَوْا خَلُّوا سَبِيلَهَا, and that whenever they become sufficient, not needing her services anymore, they should do what? They should allow her to go. That Sheikh Muhammad ibn Adam al-Ethiopi said, he is commanding them to still allow her to go. Itself shows that it is compulsory for them to allow the slave to go if it happens that a slave was slapped. So if we come back to hadith number 176, it was this same incident that Suwayd cited regarding those people who were selling clothes within the house. After he told them that it was prohibited to slap the face, he says, لَقَدْ رَأَيْتُنِي سَابِعَ سَبْعَةٍ, I found myself being one of the seven, that is one of the seven children of Muqarrim. وَمَا لَنَا إِلَّا خَادِمٌ, we did not have any other slave except one. فَلَطَمَهَا بَعْدُنَا, and one of them slapped that slave. فَأَمَرَهُ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمَ أَنْ يُؤْتِقَهَا, and the Prophet صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمَ commanded him to free that slave as kafara, as an atonement for what he had done. The slave might have heard. It might be lawful to actually discipline the slave, but it is unlawful to beat a slave in the face. It is not talking about whether the slave heard or not. It is not talking about whether it is lawful to beat a slave or not. What it is talking about is that even if it's lawful, you have sufficient grounds to discipline that slave It is not lawful to beat a slave in the face, as we read yesterday. Neither is it lawful to slap a slave in the face. If it happens that you beat a slave in the face, or it happens that you slap a slave in the face, it is duty bound on you to free that slave. And it appears, and Allah knows best, that it is compulsory for you to free that slave. That was why Suwayd would get annoyed. Radiallahu anhu. Suwayd would not be getting annoyed over a matter if it was not compulsory. And we saw on two different occasions, when it happened in his house with those people selling clothes, he was annoyed. When it happened regarding his own son, Muawiyah, he was annoyed. In fact, in the case of Muawiyah, his son, Muawiyah ibn Suwayd ibn Muqarrin, Suwayd caused the slave to give a response, reply, revenge, do your own, do what he did to you. It is part of what Sheikh Muhammad ibn Adam al-Isyuti was referring to. He said, Suwayd will not be saying that do it back if it was not compulsory. Do your own. Because it was a sin. And it's a major sin at that, that you slap a human being on the face, including a slave, including even the lower animals. They must not be beaten in the face. Neither should they ever be slapped in the face. The point of reference in all of these is that if it happens that you slap your servant, you slap your cook, you slap your maid, you slap your nanny, and then it reoccurs to you that, oh, it is prohibited for me to do that, try to do something that will remove the evil of what you have done, because you have committed a major sin. Try to appease that person, as Suwayd did. Suwayd called that slave and told the slave to slap his son in return. That is one way of appeasing and appealing to that slave over what the boy did. So try to do something to be sure that the person that had been slapped, and slapping that person is not lawful, try to do something to appease that person, to appeal to his conscience, to seek goodness from him. And this is very common with some of the Arabs that I have related with, Allahu A'lam. When they heard regarding you, they want to do something to cover up for that error. I have seen this in my dealings with a few people, Allahu A'lam. When they did something wrong, they want to quickly do something to cover up for that error they had directed towards you. So for the sake of Allah, if it happens that you wrongfully, even without sufficient grounds, we shall come back to that. If you beat your servant or your nanny or your cook or your driver or whomever, you did something to them, you insulted them, you abused them. We later found that it was not appropriate for you in the first place to have insulted them or abused them, or that you abused them, you insulted them, you beat them, and you went beyond bounds. Try to start doing something to appease that person. You can give them gifts. And after you give them gifts, you can make sadaqah. You can give the people sadaqah. Try to do something that will remove the sin, the evil repercussions of what you have directed towards that servant or towards that subordinate. I hope that this hadith of Suwayd ibn Muqarrin in hadith 176, in hadith 178, and in hadith 179 are clear. Suwayd ibn Muqarrin, during the time of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, they had seven of them as brothers. The youngest one amongst them slapped a slave, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam got aware and commanded them to free that slave. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam commanded them to free that slave, they appealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam that they do not have any other slave. The people even appealed on their behalf. They do not have any other slave except this girl. So he allowed them, alayhi salatu wasalam, فَلْيَسْتَخْدِمُوهَا, let them employ that girl for their services. And that when they are no more in need of her, they must be sure to allow that girl to go. So when a similar incident occurred after the demise of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, one of them, when those people selling clothes, one of them slapped a slave girl, Suwayd was annoyed. He cited this incident that happened to him, that happened to their family, during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he commanded that man to free that slave. On the second issue was between his own son and their slave. His son slapped the slave and ran away. We know how young boys behave. He slapped the slave and ran away. The slave too ran away. His son returned to the house shortly before Dhuhr and observed the salah behind Suwayd. You know, parents won't forget. After the salah, Muawiyah, the son, was called by his father, sit down here. He called the slave, you sit down here, and told the slave, slap him in return. Fa'afa. But the slave overlooked. And then in that occasion too, the Suwayd now narrated to them what happened during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the youngest one amongst them slapped a slave, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded them to free the slave. So you will see how the companions followed the instructions of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Suwayd did not just witness that event. He was sure that whenever a similar thing occurred and he witnessed it, he had to wade in to be sure that a slave was freed. Whenever people slapped a slave, Suwayd ibn Muqarrin came in to be sure that that slave was freed. That was after he would condemn the act of slapping. In the first hadith, in hadith 176, he did not only condemn it, he ordered that the slave should be freed, and he was annoyed over slapping a slave in the face. In the hadith regarding his own son, he even told the slave to take a revenge regarding his son Muawiyah. This is evidence that the companions radiyallahu anhum, they were not just with the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, as they took to his own instructions. In the subsequent generation, when they became the leaders of the people, they ensured that the people followed those same instructions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This makes us also understand, if you are the leader of the house and your wife slaps your nanny, don't say to your wife that you are the one. No, it should involve you as an individual, and you must be sure that the case was addressed. If your wife slaps her cook, if your wife slaps her nanny, if your wife slaps her female driver, in case she has a female driver or the rest of the subordinates, and we know that women get angry so easily, men get angry so easily too. So we are just saying that a man as the head of the house must be sure that the case was addressed. Don't sweep it under the carpet in the name of protecting your wife. You must put pressure on her to be sure that your wife looks for a means of pacifying that nanny or that cook that she had slapped. And if you were the one who did it, you must be sure that you do something by way of rectifying the issue. You must do good deeds that will remove the evil repercussions of your slapping the slave. To slap a slave in the face is from the major sins, and it is connected to the fire. May Allah protect us from that. We go to the second group of hadith, and that is hadith 177 and hadith 180 from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. If we come to hadith 180, which is the fuller version of that hadith, hadith 180. Al-Imam al-Bukhari reported it from Musa. He says, حدثنا موسى قال حدثنا أبو عوانة قال حدثنا فراس عن أبي صالح عن زادان أبي عمر قال كنا عند عمر فدعا بغلام له كان ضربه فكشف عن ظهره فقال أيوجعك؟ قال لا، فأعتقه، ثم رفع عودا من الأرض، فقال ما لي فيه من الأجر ما يزن هذا العود؟ فقلت يا أبا عبد الرحمن، لما تقول هذا؟ قال سمعت النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يقول أو قال من ضرب مملوكه حدا لم يأته أو لطم وجهه فكفارته أن يعتقه. من ضرب مملوكه حدا لم يأته أو لطم وجهه فكفارته أن يعتقه. Al-Imam al-Bukhari in Hadith 177 reported that Hadith from Amr ibn Aun Abu Uthman. But in Hadith 180, he reported it from Musa. That is Musa ibn Ismail at-Tabuzaki, rahimahullah, one of the teachers of Al-Imam al-Bukhari. He said, Haddathana Abu Awana. Abu Awana wa Dahu ibn Abdullah al-Yashkuri. Abu Awana wa Dahu ibn Abdullah al-Yashkuri. He said, Haddathana Firas. Firas in this hadith is Firas ibn Yahya, Abu Yahya al-Hamdani. Firas ibn Yahya, Abu Yahya al-Hamdani. He is reporting from Abu Salih. Abu Salih is the father of Suhail ibn Abi Salih. We recall that reporter, Suhail. And the name of Abu Salih himself is Zakwan al-Samman. Abu Salih, Zakwan al-Samman. He is reporting from Zazan. Zazan is Abu Umar. Zazan. Abu Umar al-Kindi. Zazan has a nice story of his repentance from the hands of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Zazan. He used to be a musician with a very sweet voice. One day he was chanting a song and beating a drum to it. And Abdullah and the people were drinking alcohol. Zazan. This Zazan is a tabi'i. Rahimahullah. He was singing, chanting a song and beating a drum to it. And the people were drinking alcohol. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu passed by them. He broke the drum of alcohol. And he took away the musical instrument from the hand of Zazan and broke it. And then he said to him, I wish that this sweet voice, this nice, beautiful, sonorous voice was a voice with which you read the Quran. He left free. Radiallahu anhu. Zazan then asked the people, who is this old man who did what he just did? He said that was Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. He raced behind Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, and he started pursuing ibn Mas'ud till he got to the house with Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, and he started saying, Zazan started to make tawbah, started saying that he seeks repentance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he seeks never to do what he has been doing before. فَعَتَنَقَنِي Zazan said, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud made itinak. He embraced him, wabaka. And Ibn Mas'ud himself started to weep. وَقَالَ مَرْحَبًا بِمَنْ أَحَبَّهُ اللَّهُ We are welcome you, the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has loved. Ijlis, sit down here. ثُمَّ دَخَلَى وَأَخْرَجَ لِي تَمْرًا He went to his house and brought some dried dates for him to eat. Ibn Mas'ud welcomed him. He embraced him. He told him words of encouragement. And Zazan repented from that time. He stopped chanting music and beating the drums. He repented from the hands of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And he also learned from Abdullah ibn Umar. This report is from his narrations from Abdullah ibn Umar. He says, Kunna inda ibn Umar. Zazan, who was the one who will sing and beat the drum and the people will drink alcohol, became someone who repented and will be sitting in the gathering of Abdullah ibn Umar. You can see how Allah changes the people. He was a musician who would sing and beat the drum and the people would drink alcohol and perhaps dance. He is now the one reporting something while he did sitting down in the gathering of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. The point here is that don't look down and think that one person is upon a sin, he cannot repent. He may repent tomorrow and become better than you. May Allah protect us all. It is also evidence that those who are upon things that Allah does not like should repent. When they repent, they should be sure that Allah will accept their repentance. So repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Zazan is Abu Umar al-Kindi. He said, Kunna inda ibn Umar fada'a bi ghulamin lahu kana darabahu. We were with Abdullah ibn Umar fada'a bi ghulamin lahu. So he invited one of his slaves, kana darabahu, that he had beaten on an occasion. فَكَشَفَ عَنْ ظَهْرِهِ. That slave now removed his clothes. He removed the clothes from the back. فَرَأَى ظَهْرَهُ فَرَأَى فِي ظَهْرِهِ أَثَرًا. That ziyada is from Sahih Muslim. That Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu now saw fi zahrihi asara. He saw at the back of that slave some signs of beating. And then he says, Ayuji'uka, does it pain you? Does this sign still pain you? Qala la, he said, no, it has stopped paining me. Fa'a'taqahu. Abdullah ibn Umar therefore freed him. He freed the slave. So I had beaten you so much that I left pains and marks behind you. He quickly freed the slave. Radiallahu anhu. Summa rafa'a udan min al-ard. When he freed the slave, Abdullah ibn Umar picked up a stick from the ground. Faqala, and then said, Ma li fihi min al-ajri ma yazinu hadha al-ud. I do not have any reward from freeing the slave. I don't have a reward for freeing the slave. I don't have a reward like this stick. Radiallahu anhu. Ma li fihi min al-ajr ma yazinu hadha al-ud. I do not have a reward from freeing the slave. I do not have a reward that is up to the weight of this stick for freeing that slave. No reward up to who? Look at this stick. The rewards that I get from it does not amount to the weight of this stick when I freed that slave. فَقُلْتُ يَا أَبَا عَبْدَ الرَّحْمَنِ. Zazan, who was in that gathering reporting this narration to the rest of us today, he says, يَا أَبَا عَبْدَ الرَّحْمَنِ. O Abu Abdul Rahman, Abdullah ibn Umar was the teacher and he's been referred to as Abu Abdul Rahman. It was the way of the early Muslims. They referred to themselves employing their kunyas. So Zazan asked Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, Ya Aba Abdul Rahman, lima taqulu hadha? Why would you say that by your freeing that slave, you don't have rewards bigger than the weight of this wood that you have talked about? He says, Qala samitu al-Nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam yaqul. I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, أو قال أو I heard the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم say من ضرب مملوكه حدا لم يأته من ضرب مملوكه حدا لم يأته. Whoever beats his slave حدا by way of punishing him over a sin that he committed, he is employing cane or anything to beat that slave. But this slave, he is beating him over a matter. Lam yatihi. The slave did not even do it in the first place. It became clear that that slave was free. That slave was innocent of what for which he was being beaten. That is, whoever groundlessly beats his slave, I will laugh for my wajham. Or even though it could be have grounds, it could have good enough reasons, but he goes ahead to slap that slave. We've mentioned these two issues. Sometimes people beat the slave or the servant or the caretaker or whomever for reasons that are not substantiated. Then later it becomes clear to them that, oh, it was not lawful for me to have beaten the person in the first place. This is one issue. All that, it was lawful for them to beat the person. There are sufficient grounds that the person should be beaten. We gave examples. A slave commits zina. A slave stole something. Or in the case of Ibn Umar too, when the slave went to make an exchange with his gold, but he did not bring back the exchange. Ibn Umar had to beat the slave. When there are sufficient grounds also to beat the slave, he said that the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if he beats that slave and slaps him in the face, فَكَفَّارَتُهُ أَنْ يُؤْتِقَهُ. The atonement for going beyond bounds, for beating him, or beating him for reasons that he did not even do in the first place, فَكَفَّارَتُهُ أَنْ يُؤْتِقَهُ. The atonement for that is that the slave must be freed. you will see from this hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar that it appears that it is compulsory for the individual to free that slave. That's why he referred to it as what? Kaffara. He says, فَكَفَّارَتُهُ أَنْ يُعْتِقَهُ. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَنْ ضَرَبَ مَمْلُوكَهُ حَدًّا لَمْ يَأْتِهِ. Whoever beats his slave over a sin, over an iniquity, لَمْ يَأْتِهِ, that became known, that he did not even commit, أَوْ لَطَمَ وَجْهَهُ, or he slapped the face of this slave or servant, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, فَكَفَّارَتُهُ أَنْ يُؤْتِقَهُ. The atonement for that going overboard about beating the slave in the face is that أَنْ يُؤْتِقَهُ, that slave must be free. I hope that this is also clear regarding the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar. The hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar was clearer, bi-iznillah, to show that it is compulsory for the individual to free the slave. This hadith 180 is the same thing we have in hadith 177, wherein Abdullah ibn Umar said, سَمِيْتُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَقُولُ مَنْ لَقَمَ عَبْدَهُ أَوْ ضَرَبَهُ حَدًّا لَمْ يَأْتِهِ فَكَفَّارَتُهُ عِتْقُهُ. Whoever beats a slave, مَنْ لَقَمَ عَبْدَهُ, whoever slaps his slave, أَوْ ضَرَبَهُ حَدًّا لَمْ يَأْتِهِ, or he beats him over a sin that it became clear that he did not even commit, فَكَفَّارَتُهُ عِتْقُهُ, the atonement for that behavior of beating that slave unlawfully is that the slave should be freed. This hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar is clearly the evidence to say that it is compulsory. And the hadith of Suwaid, even though it has something from which not being compulsory may be deduced, it still has elements that it is compulsory for the individual to free the slave. If the ruling of it being recommended but an emphasized recommendation is what upon which there is ijma, as Sheikh Muhammad ibn Adam al-Ethiopi had said, rahimahullah, then so be it. But if there is no established consensus regarding the matter, then it appears, and Allah knows this, that the most correct thing is that these ahadith show that it is compulsory to free that slave. So try to be sure that whenever you do something, go beyond bounds regarding your dealings with your subordinates. Try to appease them. Don't be the arrogant, boastful head. Some people are ever arrogant. They don't ever think that they could do something bad, even when they do a lot of things so badly. It could happen even between a husband and a wife. You blame your wife over an issue, and it became clear to you that you should not have blamed her. You come back, you try to appease her. You try to appeal to her. You try to say, oh, I'm sorry for what I have done. You will see from the story of Suwaid, when he even brought his own son, that son should be slapped by a slave. Why? His son has committed a sin for which he may be entered into the fire. He wants atonement for his son. But for some of us, we become so arrogant, so full of ourselves, and so self-important, that instead of coming down to acknowledge our error, we want to justify error. This is from the way of the people of arrogance. We beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us all from arrogance. And we beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to rectify us all. If anybody beats his slave or servant or subordinate or abused him or did something, it became clear that you had gone beyond limits in what you did, try to quickly begin to seek means to appease that person against whom you had done that wrong. May Allah protect us all. If we have a few questions, I think these ahadiths are clear. Bi-iznillah. The next chapter will be Babu Qisas al-Abd, Qisas, the chapter that the slave may take revenge, may seek address. My boss did so and so and so to me, it's bad. The slave can seek redress. We'll come back to this, inshallah, in the next chapter that we shall read in the next class, bismillah. So if we have a few questions on these issues, we can entertain them, bismillah, Abu Yusuf.
Welcome, Sheikh Khan. If the slave is a non-Muslim, would the ruling be different?
If the slave is a non-Muslim, will the ruling be different? The ruling of freeing a slave will be different. We only free slaves when they are Muslims. If it's not a Muslim, yes, you can appease him, but don't free the slave. Free a Muslim slave. And that occurs in a verse in Surah Al-Ma'idah, and then in the hadith of Muawiyah ibn Hakam al-Sulami. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted him to free the slave, he said, bring the slave, let's confirm her iman first. And when it was confirmed that she has iman, he says, free her, fa'innaha mu'mina, because she's a mu'mina, she's a believer. So we only free the slave when the slave is a Muslim. If it's not a Muslim slave, the best of what you can do is to try to appease that slave. Allahu a'lam.
If one has in the past slapped maid in the face, but now repents and does not slap the maid currently with her, what can she do with the previous maid that has left?
If you find access to them, send gifts to them. Send gifts to them that will make them become happy towards you. And then do a lot of sadaqah. One of the biggest things that removes punishment for an individual is sadaqah. One of the biggest acts of worship by which Allah removes the punishment for an individual is sadaqah. So if you have access to that maid, send gifts to her. And then do a lot of sadaqah. If you don't have access, do a lot of sadaqah and hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after your repentance.
Now, JazakAllah Shukran.
Ameen wa antum.
Can a Muslim engage in boxing as a means of survival?
Allah has prohibited us from causing harm to ourselves. We know that boxing, either immediately, like for those who meet opponents that are far stronger than them, it's a means of bringing harm to yourself, clear-cut harm. If you are not harmed, you cannot lose. If you don't harm somebody, you cannot win. How does bringing harm to the next person or harm to yourself become a means of seeking livelihood? Don't do it. And then in the later part of the lives of those people, we see how they end. So go away from that. Inna Allah kana bikum rahima. Allah is merciful to you. Don't bring yourself into this kind of a hardship. Allahu a'lam.
Is the curse of Allah on anyone who gives another person a tribal mark?
Whether the ruling will now directly employ, that is what Allah knows best. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam makes us understand that the act is an accursed act. It's an accursed act to mark an animal in the face or to mark a human being in the face. It's an accursed act. So people should go away from it. Now if one person does it, is it certainly accursed? Allah alone knows that one, subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it's a major sin. So whether it will be immediately, that person will get that curse of Allah or not, Allah alone knows that one. Whether he will hold it back for him and punish him for it in the grave, Allah alone knows. But the act itself is an accursed act that the people should avoid. If the person does not gain the forgiveness of Allah and does not repent, he may be punished in the fire. But if the person repents, then Allah forgives all sins except shirk. If the person repents, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow it. Now, if a person does it now and say he wants to do it deliberately by way of violating the limits of Allah, Allah can punish him immediately for it. He can also delay the punishment. Look at Fir'aun. Fir'aun was even claiming to be Allah, but Allah delayed it until he met with the punishment in the end. So punishments regarding this may be delayed by Allah by way of making sure that the person finds time to repent. So you may not be able to say whether immediately the curse starts coming down upon that person. You can't say that. But you know that the action that he has done will bring him curse from Allah and send him away from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I hope that is clear about Yusuf.
Yes, sir.
Ameen wa antum.
If the father was the one who slapped his child in the face out of anger and as a corrective measure, will he atone for this too? And how can he do that if he has to?
He will appease his son. Draw him back to yourself. Appeal to him. Make him be happy. Buy him something. Buying someone something, giving him gifts, giving him money, is usually a means of bringing joy to the minds of children from parents. Buy him something. Give him a gift by way of appeasing him. Apologize to him. Apologize to him. Make him understand that you have erred. You are teaching that boy to also be able to apologize tomorrow when he errs. You are not bringing down yourself at all as a parent. You are teaching him to be humble too with people when he errs. That is a lesson that will be recorded in the mind of your child when he sees you apologizing over an indecent act that you had committed and directed to him. Appeal to that child. Appeal to him. Make him understand that you have erred and you are a human being. You can err. Don't be the super godfather who is also erring. The super godfather who thinks, oh, I can't err. Don't present yourself like that to your children. You're a father who doesn't err, because that father who doesn't err does not exist. So make your children understand that as from the children of Adam, we err. And the best of those who err are those who repent after error. Give this impression to your child when you err in your dealings with them. Allahu Akbar.
Can couple decide never to give birth because both parents are AS? And another one says, is it compulsory to give birth in marriage?
Can a couple decide not to give birth if they are both AS? If it was a discovery after marriage and they don't want to break the marriage, they are allowed. Even though not giving birth to children is discouraged. That was why if it was something that they knew before marriage and they said they were not going to give birth to children, it is also a discouraged thing for them to proceed upon that marriage. Don't proceed upon your marriage if you know that it is AS. Do not bring yourself with your own hands into halak, into destruction, into worry, into pain. I know a brother, I know another person, an older person. He has children with this AS issue, SS. It's usually a big trouble for parents. One of very close brother to us here, he paid a lot of attention, spent a lot of money, over 20-something million he spent. He took the child to Italy for a bone marrow transplant. In the end, the boy died. He spent over 2 years there caring for that boy. The boy still die at the end of the day. So it's usually and he still has two others apart from that one. He has two others. A week wouldn't go except that he has to visit a hospital. It's a major issue of trauma. So if you recognize this, don't deceive yourself over WhatsApp calls, Facebook chats, thinking that you have iman. When the matters come down, you will know that, like Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, Al-firaru min al-fitnati min al-iman. Running away and avoiding fitna itself is from the aspects of preserving your iman. So preserve your iman. Don't bring yourself into trouble after you have recognized that if you are AS, and you have children, you are very most likely, clear-cut human knowledge makes us understand that you are most likely going to have children who will have this kind of a trouble. Apart from you, have you considered also the pains that you'll be bringing to those children? Have you thought of the pains? I have an in-law who has this issue. She's about 30-something years old now. She's finding it hard to have a husband. How? She hardly spends a week except that she was in the hospital. How many times had she undergone blood transfusion? If you look at her hands, all full of needles, needle punctures, the entirety of her hands. So why then do the parents come together so that they bring pain to this kind of a child? So it's better to avoid it and not come near it. Now, if you didn't know, there were people who would do tests and the test would not show anything that they have both AS until they become married fully. Then it becomes clear. If it happens, as an individual, I will advise the two people to separate, because it is going to bring them into fitna. But if they choose to remain upon the marriage, then the decision is theirs. The decision is theirs. If they say they will not give birth to children, that is lawful for them. But for how long can they do that? You are a man, you have heirs. Your wife has heirs. You both decide not to give birth to a child. For how long can you determine not to give birth to a child, when you can simply marry a man who has AA, and he can marry a woman who has AA, and you both have children and make yourself happy in life? Children are a major thing in life. But because you say you love yourself, tomorrow you will cry over this decision if you are not careful. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. I think the matter is beyond saying, is it lawful or unlawful? Look at the other things connected to it. It is discouraged to take that decision. It is also discouraged to go into a marriage with a man that has AS. You are sure you have AS because of some of the issues that we had mentioned. Allahu a'lam. Abba Yusuf. I mean, can we make your last, this the last question for today, inshallah?
It says, what is the difference between Ishraq and Duha? Can one observe?
Ishraq is the beginning of Duha. Ishraq is the earliest time of Duha. And that's contained in an asar from Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu. The first times of Duha, when the rays of the sun emerges in the horizon, is what is called al-Ishraq, the lightning, the first lightning that appears. That's what is referred to as Ishraq. And they are the beginning of Duha. There's no difference between the two, except what has been said. The beginning, the first earliest times of Duha, is what is called al-Ishraq. Allahu A'lam. We can stop here, Abba Yusuf. Ameen wa antum fajizatum akhira. Ameen, ameen. Salaamu alaikum.
Salaam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.